Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, last week we began a new series called Going All In, and we talked about how we're going to be addressing some heavy and serious topics these 3 weeks, and how each of these things is supposed to come under, like Ronald shared with us a minute ago, the lordship of Jesus Christ, and that we're living out a new life, a gospel identity life, or some people might call it a spirit-led life. And what Jesus has done for us should shape everything. It should transform every area of our lives, including our sexuality, our emotions and attitudes, and even the things that we find pleasure and joy in. Jesus should shape all of those things. And this morning, we're going to be looking at another aspect of life that, according to the latest statistics, impacts every single person in this room in some way. Anxiety. According to the American Psychiatric Association's poll on mental health, anxiety has increased across the board for adults in America by nearly 10% in the last 2 years. Young adults, those 18 through 34 years old, are more likely to admit that their anxiety is predominantly impacted by their social connections. And yet nearly half of all the adults in America confess to feeling more anxious this year than they did just 1 year ago. So needless to say, anxiety has a huge effect, not only on us, but on our culture and on our community. Now, before we get too much further into this message, I just want to acknowledge that there is a very real anxiety and a very real depression that is deeper than what we're going to primarily be dealing with this morning. Anxiety disorder and clinical depression are both very real and severe mental health issues that affect many people. And if you have suffered from longer-lasting feelings of sadness and pain, I want to encourage you to see both a physical doctor and a licensed counselor. And if you need a counselor to talk to, I have several that I would highly recommend for you to be able to talk with about your mental health. And you're more than welcome to come and see me after our gathering this morning. I can give you those names. For many others of us, while our anxiety might not be as severe, it still clearly, according to statistics, is having a far-reaching impact on our lives. So whether it's us personally, or a family member, or a friend that's dealing with anxiety, it's important for us to look at what God's Word would have to say this morning about anxiety. And while there are a few passages that we could turn to, I would like for us to look at Paul's closing remarks to the church in Philippi, because I think there we're going to see that Paul gives us a strategy for battling anxiety. So if you want to, you can turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. All right, so let's kind of set the stage first on what's going on as Paul is writing this letter. First, Paul himself is writing this letter from Rome, where he is on a house arrest, and he's supervised by Roman guards. And his reason for writing the letter is primarily to thank the Philippians for their generosity in giving to the gospel ministry that he has continued since meeting with them last. Yet Paul also takes some time to address a few things, one of which is the church's attitude towards one another, which he does in chapter 2, and then their anxiousness and the suffering that they're experiencing in chapter 4. So the Philippian church, like most of the early churches, was suffering intense persecution by both Jews and Romans alike. And fear of sharing and living out their faith in Christ presented daily challenges of possibly being ostracized or even killed for their faith. So in this context, that's what Paul lays out, a plan for how the church can address their anxiousness, their anxiety. So let's take a look. So Paul's first encouragement is to rejoice in the Lord. Now, I'm sure that the Philippians might have responded similar to how we might respond as we read that statement from Paul. Be joyful always. Paul, I know that you've been beaten up once or twice, and I know that you might not be cognitively all together up there, but I'm not sure you're thinking right on this. How do we rejoice when those in our church community are being imprisoned, beaten, or even murdered for simply identifying with Jesus? Now, for you this morning, it may be something else that you're anxious about, and you're thinking, how in the world do I rejoice in that? I can't rejoice in that. So there's not a lot to find joy in for the Philippians right now within their current circumstances as Paul is writing this. But I think Paul knows exactly what he's saying. It's not like he himself is experiencing pain-free, easy living. Again, he's in prison. He can't even have a visitor over to his house without the Roman authority giving their approval. But Paul has found joy despite that, despite his fears, despite his worries, despite his own anxieties. And so the question we have to ask is, how? How does he find joy? And essentially, the next few verses tell us how Paul battles his own anxiety. So let's look together. First, Paul tells the church in verses 6 and 7 that instead of worrying about anything, pray about everything. So the first thing I think Paul says is we should literally empty our hearts out to God in prayer. All our feelings, all our hurts, all our frustrations, all our fears, everything should be brought to God. Being in children's ministry the last 25 years, one of my favorite passages is the passage where the parents are bringing their children to Jesus. And they just want Jesus to pray over them. But the disciples, thinking they're righteous and spiritual, they're saying, no, no, no. Leave your children. No, they can't be with Jesus. Jesus has more important things to do. He has more spiritual things to do than to take care of your children. But then Jesus responds. He's like, stop. Let them come. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. Here's what I think. I think, sadly, that we adopt that mentality when it comes to prayer. Well, I'll bring to Jesus the really important things. I have a friend who is diagnosed with a terminal medical disease, or a family member going through divorce, but my frustration with a coworker, well, that's my problem. That's not that big. I'll deal with it. Jesus has a lot bigger things to take care of than my issue with a coworker. No. Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me. Bring it to me. I want all of that. Everything that weighs you down, everything that is on your heart, pour it all out to Jesus. Empty your heart out to God in prayer. The God of the Bible is big enough, he cares deep enough, and his love is rich enough to hear every little pain that you could bring to him. That's why Paul makes that strong statement, the contrast that he says. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, go to God in prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, take everything to God in prayer. And here's the thing with anxiety and prayer. They are opposing forces. This is interesting. The Greek word for anxiety that Paul writes right here, it literally means to be pulled in two different directions. So in other words, we allow our concerns and our circumstances of our lives to pull us away from our relationship with God. And every single one of us is guilty of it. Every single one of us is guilty of allowing ourselves to be pulled away from God. So instead of prioritizing prayer, our conversation with God, which is literally the livelihood of any good relationship, we let other things begin to dictate our day. Kids, work, household chores, even spiritual things, Bible study, and serving other people. But when we neglect spending time with God in prayer, we pull ourselves away from the power source that sustains our lives. Prayer is essential in fighting anxiety. So much so, in fact, that Paul lays out what this prayer should look like. It's not just, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, amen. Paul says, our prayer, in the time that we spend with God, should be adoring God, appealing to God, and appreciating God. These should be the regular aspects of your prayer time with the Lord. And I wish I had more time to kind of analyze each part of these aspects of prayer, but because we have more to talk about regarding Paul's strategy for battling anxiety, I'm just going to leave you with a couple of questions from each of these aspects of prayer, okay? So the first one, under adoring God, do you spend time in prayer telling God how much you love him and how amazing he is? Listen, there is nothing more that pleases the Lord than for us to tell him about his character, who he is, that he is good and faithful and generous and loving and compassionate. God loves to hear that about himself. And that's not arrogant because he's God. Right? Second thing, appealing to God. Do you spend time in prayer diligently bringing God every concern, every fear, and every worry that you feel? Like we said a minute ago, bringing everything to God in prayer. And the last thing, appreciating God. Do you spend time reflecting on God's past faithfulness to you? His past faithfulness to you, what he has done for you in the past. Do you tell him thank you for those things? Do you tell him how much you're grateful for those things that he's done? One more comment about prayer right here, specifically on this point. In worry and anxiety, genuine gratitude for what God has already done in your life combats the fears you might have for the future. And I love the way that one pastor put it. Listen to what he says. God's past faithfulness gives you confidence in his continued faithfulness. What God has done in the past gives you confidence in who he will be in the future, that he will not change. And you can be confident in that. The second thing that Paul lays out to the Philippian church that helps him combat anxiety is filling his mind with God's truth. Look at verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So Paul says, after we've emptied our hearts of everything we're feeling, then we fill up our minds with God's truth. Author and pastor Craig Rochelle says it this way, our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. What we think shapes who we are. In other words, you are what you eat. Whatever you consume mentally is what's going to dictate your life. It's going to shape who you are. And listen, some of you, you might need to go on a diet. Several years ago, I had a health scare with my blood pressure. I think I've shared this with you before, but I had gone through some pain in my knee, but when I went to the doctor almost didn't treat me and sent me to the ER because my blood pressure was at heart attack level. And I knew I wasn't in the best health, but I was so impacted by what the doctor said that I quickly started making some life changes. And one of those was what I was eating, what I was consuming. Ministry dieting is never easy. people are always wanting to grab a bite to eat, go get some coffee, or even just make some great homemade food that they want to bring by to you. And I appreciate all of that. I always do. But it makes it difficult, right? But I knew that I needed to make some really big changes. So I went on what's called the DASH diet and reduced my sodium tremendously. And while it helped my blood pressure, I also lost 50 pounds in about 6 months. For some of you this morning, your social media consumption is detrimental to your health. It is going to cause a heart attack for you. You are consuming not just the negativity of the regular news, but everyone else's thoughts on that news. And one of the best things that you could do is change your diet. You should change what you're reading regularly and what you're spending time thinking about. And I want to challenge you that along with emptying your heart to God in prayer, that you fill up your mind with God's truth. I want to challenge you by reading a chapter a day. Just read a chapter a day. Listen, start with Philippians It's only 4 chapters. You could have that done by the end of the week. And then you know what? Once you read it once, read it again. Right? See what you missed the first time that you went through. Or for some of you, it could be that you start reading along with our daily Bible reading plan that we started last year. Keep filling your mind with the things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. I want to say this, though. This is going to be a fight. It's going to be hard. Listen, there were times where I was on that DASH diet that I would drive by Whataburger and go, man, a double cheeseburger sounds real good right now. But I was determined that being healthy was literally a matter of life and death for me. And through the power of the Holy Spirit of God in you, you can do what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. You can take every thought captive. You can make every thought something true and lovely and good and noble and make it obedient to Christ. What you think about will be what you become. And finally, Paul says, pour your life out for others. Look back at verse 9. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. That is a strong statement, y'all. I know that right now, I am trying to give every aspect of my life over to Jesus, but I am still selfish in many ways. But Paul, he tells the Philippians, he tells these people that he has ministered to, that he's preached the gospel to, hey, whatever you've seen in me, do that. That's a life that's confident that he has been spending it on Jesus. And there's no doubt that that's exactly how Paul lived. He continued to love and serve others as he ministered the gospel message to them. Earlier in Philippians and in his letter to his young protege Timothy, Paul says this, my life is being poured out like a drink offering. The drink offering was a special offering that the priest would make after he made a sacrifice of the ram or of a goat that covered over the people's sins. So Paul's essentially, he's saying this, I'm going to live every aspect of my life, every drop of my life, I'm going to live it sacrificially for others so that they may know the love of God. Paul didn't want to waste a moment of his life. But here's the incredible part of what Paul is saying. When we begin to serve and love others, we have a harder time obsessing over our own worries. According to a recent online article from Harvard Medical School, one of the best ways to manage anxiety, this is according to Harvard, is to get out there. That's what it says, literally get out there. And this is what it says, make an effort to interact with people by volunteering for a cause, doing a social club or an athletic league. See, our tendency when we're anxious is to isolate ourselves, begin to retreat into ourselves. And we don't really want to talk about it with other people because, you know, we're a little bit embarrassed about it. You know, we're kind of ashamed of it. But one of the best ways, according to God's word and according to recent scientific study, is to engage with other people. You heard Pastor Ronald say that earlier. The church is where we're supposed to find freedom from anxiety because we're in community with one another. So as you empty your heart out in prayer and you're filling your mind up with God's truth, what if you also committed to pour your life out for other people? Maybe it's like Ronald was saying earlier that it's simply joining one of our dinner eight groups or maybe one of the Bible studies that meets consistently, one of those things. Either way, I encourage you, if you're struggling with anxiety, be real with other people. Be genuine with them. Don't retreat into isolation. Don't be afraid of some stigma. Again, many people, even people that you might be afraid of telling this to, they're struggling with their own fears too. And what they may need is just for somebody to be open about what they're struggling with so that then they feel brave enough to be able to share. And if you are one of those people that's brave enough today, maybe you've been retreated, maybe you've been isolated, but today you're feeling brave enough. The Spirit's giving you that bravery. Here's what I want you to do. Pastor Ron and I are going to be in the coffee shop again. We'd love to be able to pray over you, talk with you, hear what's going on. Do that today. Choose today to build community, to be in community with other people. Don't let anxiety overwhelm you, but share that with other people. Before we do that, I want to close by looking back at verse 4. Because I know we kind of did like a flyby over that, right? When we talked about rejoice in the Lord. And so I want to kind of go back and look at that, because what Paul's saying is actually a very big deal. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Recognize where we're supposed to rejoice in the Lord. In other words, Paul's saying that real joy, not happiness, but genuine joy comes from finding our strength each day, finding our hope, what we're looking forward to in the future, in God. In God. And there's a huge reason that he's saying that, because everything else in our life changes. Jobs change, people change, circumstances change, but God is unchanging. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is love. He loves you. And he's demonstrated that love by giving his son Jesus, who saved us from separation from God. And he's given us his spirit, which fills us with his presence. And he can fill us with hope this morning, despite our circumstances. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our God is a God of hope. Your current circumstance may be painful. You might be having difficulty seeing how any good can come out of it. You might even be at the point of giving up. But this morning, my prayer for you is that the God of hope would fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Not your circumstances, not your experiences, not even your own thoughts, but him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, this morning, for those who are dealing with anxiety, God, the worries of this life that they feel overwhelmed by, circumstances that are beating them down, God, I pray this morning that they would find their hope in Jesus, because he is the greatest hope that we have for this life and for the next. So, Father, help them to trust in him. Help them to bring everything that's on their heart and their mind. Help them to bring it to you in prayer. God, help them to fill up their minds with your truth, the truth of your word. And Father, help them to be in community, loving and sharing and serving with others. God, I pray that you'd help us to take Paul's strategy to mind when we talk about anxiety in our own lives. But Father, finally, we're thankful for Jesus, who gives us victory over everything, including anxiety. We pray this in his name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.